Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this Lord's Day when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Just a few announcements before we begin worship this week. We will begin worship today. We will not have Bible study this week. Lord willing, I'll be visiting with family in Georgia, so I covet your prayers for traveling mercies, but I should be back before next Sunday. So plan to be here next week. Please also put your cell phones and tablets and things on airplane mode. We do have our Wi-Fi situation straightened out, Lord willing, and so I think it'll help our live streaming portion of the service go more smoothly. Let's now be called to worship. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come today confessing that our hearts long for so many other things besides you. All too often we seek your face simply because of the health or happiness or prosperity that we want you to give to us. But today, help us to put aside all the gifts and worship only the giver. Help us to turn away from the creation and worship only the creator. Help us to give you the honor and the praise and the adoration and the glory that you alone deserve. For we come trusting only in the perfect sacrifice Christ has made for us and offering the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals on this day when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Our responsive reading comes from the back of the hymnal. Selection 626 is the account of the Last Supper. I will read the light face print and encourage the congregation to respond with the bold. Let's read this portion of God's Word responsively. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lambs were being slaughtered, his disciples said to him, Where would you like us to go and prepare for your Passover supper?
So he sent out two of his disciples with these instructions. Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and when he enters the house, give this message to the householder. The master says, Where is the room reserved for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?
He will show you a large room upstairs, set out in readiness. Make the preparations for us there.
Then the disciples went off, and when they came into the city, they found everything just as he had told them. So they prepared for Passover.
In the evening, he came to the house with the 12. As they sat at supper, Jesus said, I tell you this, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. During supper, he took bread, And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them with the words, "Take this, this is my body."
Then he took the cup, and having offered thanks to God, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, shed for many. I tell you this, never again shall I drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
After singing the Passover hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Let's celebrate this gracious gift that God has given to us, the gift of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. As we turn in our hymnals to selection 212, "According to Thy Gracious Word," we'll sing all four stanzas, and let us stand to sing. Sung our Lord's praise, let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and they're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. And now as we prepare our hearts for prayer, let us take up our hymnals once again. We'll turn to selection 91, as we remember that Jesus is our greatest gift. We'll sing all the stanzas of hymn number 91, and let us stand to sing. Amen. You may be seated. We celebrate today God's greatest gift to us, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we meditate upon him and as we receive him spiritually in the Lord's Supper, let us draw close to him also in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you this day for your greatest gift to us, the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you've promised us by faith in him, we can draw near to you in prayer. We can draw near to you knowing that we are forgiven. We can draw near to you knowing that you've given up your only son so that we might be adopted into your family. Lord, you have loved us with an amazing, everlasting, unconditional love. We thank you. But Lord, we have to confess that our love for you is all too often so cold in comparison. Lord, it's so much easier for us to focus on the gifts rather than the giver. So easy for us, Lord, only to desire you for what we think you can give to us instead of loving you for who you are. And then, Lord, we have to confess that our love for others is so often so cold and fickle and self-centered. We set our love, O Lord, upon those whom we think will love us in return. We set our love, O Lord, only on those who we think are safe. But Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the amazing sacrifice that he has made, even for sinners like us. That he would sit down at a table with the 12 disciples, knowing that one would betray him and all that would abandon him, and one would deny him. And yet he washed their feet, and yet he died for them. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to love you as you deserve, to love you, to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory, not only with our lips, but with our lives. Lord, that you would help us to live the life of Christ before all those whom we will see this week. And so we ask, O Lord, as we prepare to read your word, that you would fill us with your spirit, not only so that we might understand what you had to say to us, but so we might truly be changed, that we might be made more like Jesus. For we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. God has given us his son. God has given us his best. Let us respond to God's grace as we give unto him his tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts. As we celebrate your greatest gift to us today, O Lord, we pray that you would take these gifts that we offer unto you, not as a way of repaying you, but simply as a way of saying thank you and a way of expressing our love for you. So bless us, O Lord, and help us and use these gifts, use us however you will, to expand your kingdom and to spread your gospel. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Today we, on this day when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, the verses 2 through 8. This is a story about Jesus being transfigured and thus revealing his glory to his disciples. But I think we'll also find that this story has a lot to tell us about the disciples as well, and maybe about us. Mark chapter 9, the verses 2 through 8, this is God's word. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment, his clothing, became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller, no launderer on earth can whiten them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he wist not, he didn't know, what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. Jesus only. It's God's word. Now, it's so easy, isn't it, for us? It's so easy for us to come down hard on poor Peter, right? He's always got his mouth on fast forward and his brain on rewind. But surely in this case, we should cut him a little slack. I mean, seeing Jesus transfigured in all his glory had to be a pretty mind-blowing experience. Not to mention getting to meet 2 of the great heroes of the faith, Moses and Elijah, at the same time. It's no wonder Peter wist not, that he didn't know what to say. But maybe Peter was making some sort of sense after all with all that babbling about tabernacles. Because when we are similarly overwhelmed, in the midst of the body blows that life all too often throws our way, can't we sympathize with Peter? Can't we sympathize with his desire to want to build some tents and camp out up on the mountaintop? When we can't figure out what our next step should be, when chronic pain moves in to stay, when waves of grief threaten to drown us, don't we all just want to hang out with Jesus? Don't we want to stay up on the mountaintop? Don't we want to be above all those problems? Don't we all want a little piece of heaven right now? And I suppose that's one reason that we come to the Lord's table, isn't it? We want to get a taste of Jesus. We want to feel his presence. We want to have some reassurance of his love. But if we're not careful, we can bring with us the same sorts of unrealistic expectations that made Peter want to stay up on that mountaintop with those shining figures. And if we come to the table with unrealistic expectations, we will leave the table unsatisfied. Let's think first about what Moses represented to Peter, why Peter might have wanted to stay up on the mountain with Moses. Moses was the great lawgiver, right? So if Peter could keep Moses with him, well, he'd never have to wonder again about what was right or wrong. He could always be sure that he was doing exactly what God expected of him, right? Well, that wasn't just a temptation for Peter. Even today, many people of other faiths seek spiritual comfort in what is known as legalism, the effort to earn God's favor by following a set of rules, doing some do's and don'ting some don'ts. And after all, Christians are not immune to this problem. It's comforting sometimes, isn't it? It's comforting to think that all we have to do to be good in God's sight, well, is to avoid certain scandalous behaviors, right? It makes us feel good to look at those spectacular sinners, the ones that we see on the nightly news. It feels good to say, well, at least I'm not like that guy. At least I didn't do what he did. And how many of us, on the other hand, take pride in our good deeds? You know, I went to church this week. I put an extra $5 in the plate. I help the poor. I show kindness to strangers. It's all too easy, isn't it, to fall into the trap of legalism. But none of our do's and none of our don'ts have any place at this table. There's no room for legalism in the Lord's Supper. For here, we do not come to give. We come to receive. We are reminded thus that we come not to do something to earn our salvation, but instead to remember that Jesus has accomplished it completely. Here, we do not earn our wages. Here, we receive the grace of God. Well, why else might Peter have wanted to hang out with Moses? Why might we? Well, in our increasingly confusing and confused world, with so many competing truth claims clamoring for our attention, when even those who call themselves Christians can't seem to agree on what's right and wrong, it's hard to figure out sometimes exactly what it is that God wants us to do. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone like Moses around so we could have a little moral certainty? Wouldn't it be nice not to have to do the hard work of studying God's word and trying to apply its ancient and timeless principles to our current circumstances? Well, if that's what we're looking for at this table, if we're looking for certainty, well, we probably won't find it either. For instead of certainty, instead of understanding, when we come to the Lord's table, we face instead more mystery. How can God be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the same time? How can the Son of God become a real flesh and blood human being and die? How can eating a bite of bread and drinking a sip of juice draw us closer to Jesus? How can Jesus be spiritually present in these ordinary, everyday things? There's a lot we don't know here. There's a lot we don't know about Jesus. But just as in so many other areas of our lives, we are not called to certainty. We are not called to understand everything about Jesus. We are not called to live lives where we've got this, where everything's under control. No, just as Peter was left with only Jesus, that's who we find on this table. Here we are called to receive Christ alone, not to do anything, not to understand everything. We're called to receive Christ alone and on His terms. But all too often we want more, don't we? We come to the table with other expectations. When our loved ones become sick, when our finances are stretched too thin, when grief is an unwelcome guest. Wouldn't it be nice to have, somebody like that miracle-working prophet Elijah? Wouldn't it be great if he would show up? I mean, he did all kinds of amazing things. One time, he made sure that a widow and her son didn't run out of oil or flour during a famine. Later on, he brought that same widow's son back to life. He even called down fire from heaven to prove the existence and the power of God. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to tap into that kind of divine power whenever we want it? Isn't that the reason why so many people go to faith healers or listen to those prosperity gospel preachers? I mean, don't we all want God to meet our needs on our terms according to our timetable? Wouldn't we like to hang out on the mountaintop with Elijah? But just as the vision of Moses faded from Peter's eyes, so Elijah also departed. And eventually, Peter was left on the mountaintop with only Jesus. And that is the same reality we face when we come to this table. I mean, there's really nothing here of any worldly good. A sip of juice is not going to keep any of us from wanting lunch today. A bite of bread will not balance any of our budgets. And no, there's nothing miraculous about these elements, even after we've asked God's blessing on them. Just receiving communion isn't going to heal the sick, and it's certainly not going to guarantee salvation to anyone who partakes. No, all we receive here is Jesus alone, as He is spiritually present in this bread and this fruit of the vine for those who trust in Him. Jesus only is what we have here, is who we have here. So that is the question for all of us today as we come to this table. Are we satisfied? Are we satisfied with Jesus alone? Will we do His will even when we don't understand it? Will we follow Him even if He doesn't give us the prosperity or the health or the happiness that we crave? Will we be satisfied simply to know that He has drawn near to us, that He lives within us? Will we trust Him if all He gives us is Himself? So if you want more of Jesus, if you want more of Jesus, you come to the right place. Come to the table. He's here. But only Jesus is here. But the good news is that if only Jesus is here, Jesus is the only thing, the only one we need. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for His life, for His death, for His resurrection. Thank you for His forgiveness. Thank you for His kingdom glory. Thank you for His promise of coming again. Thank you for His love. Thank you for His grace. Thank you that He would die for a world full of sinners who denied Him and rejected Him and crucified Him. Thank you. Jesus. Help us, Lord, not only to put Jesus above everything else, everyone else. But Lord, let us grow in faith and grow in grace to the point where we are certain that Jesus only is all we need. To draw us close to Him as we come to the table. Fill us with Christ. For we pray this in His name. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts to come to the table. As we take up our hymnals, we'll turn to selection 220. Selection 220. We'll sing the first, second, and last stanzas of selection 220. Let us stand to sing. You may be seated, and let us remember as we approach the Lord's table that Christ is spiritually present. Here we enjoy spiritual communion with Christ, and our souls are fed with this food. By this sacrament, Christ and all His benefits are applied to and sealed upon us. Now, it is not required of those who partake of this meal that they be members of this church or of another Presbyterian church. All those who have been baptized and who have made a public profession of faith in Christ in any Christian church are welcome. But Paul does say that whoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So if you're an unbeliever or an unrepentant believer living in defiance of Christ's commands, or if you just don't know what this bread or this cup mean, then for your sake, do not participate in this meal. But remember that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Him who comes to me, I will not cast out." So if you truly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbors, if you intend to follow the commandments of God and to walk in His holy ways, then draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and strength, making your humble confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Our God, you are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the maker of all things, and you are the judge of all of us. And you can see inside of our hearts, and you know everything we think and everything we feel and everything we do. And so there is no point in trying to pretend. Lord, we have not been faithful to you. In spite of your faithfulness, in spite of your love for us, Lord, we've turned away from your law of love. We haven't trusted you. We haven't loved you with our whole heart. We've put things and relationships and all sorts of things ahead of you in our hearts. And we haven't loved our neighbors just as much and in the same way that we've loved ourselves. We put ourselves first. Lord, we repent. We would turn away from these sins. We would mourn our sins, not least because we know that our sin brings you grief. And so we ask that you would forgive us, that you would have mercy upon us. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, that you would forgive us all that is past and grant that we may from now on serve you and please you and love you in newness of life and live only to the honor and glory of your name. For we offer this prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and who trust in Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Truly, all those who trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the forgiveness that you offer to all those who trust in Christ. And we thank you for the food on this table. And we ask that you would be with us now, that your Holy Spirit might work in us, that we might receive by faith the body and blood of Jesus Christ crucified for us in this bread and this wine that you set apart for this use. Grant us here that we might so feed upon Christ that he might be one with us and we might be one with him, that he might live in us and we might live in him. And then let us live for him who has loved us and given himself for us. Merciful Father, we lift up our hearts to heaven where Jesus Christ is seated at your right hand. We know he will come again to complete our redemption. In him, all your promises are fulfilled. In him, all spiritual blessings are found. And so, it's in joy of heart and Christian love for one another that we come to this table giving you thanks for the great love you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving.
after the same manner our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as we have done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You assure us by this sacrament of your favor and your goodness towards us, and we thank you that you also assure us by this sacrament that we are members of your body, of the body of Christ, along with all your faithful people, and are heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of Christ's suffering and death. And so we humbly ask you, O Heavenly Father, to enable us with your grace that we may continue in your holy fellowship, that we might do all such good works as you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. We'll sing just the first stanza of our closing hymn, hymn number 207. Just the first stanza, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Let us stand to sing.
may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.